From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Raspeña with a local and statewide news update. A group that wants to save a neglected site where the Alaska Territorial flag was designed, sewn, and first flown sued Wednesday. Friends of Jesse Lee Home is seeking to block the city of Seward from demolishing the property. The group contends the property is theirs and say the city has misrepresented the home's condition and estimated renovation costs and interfered with work efforts. An attorney in private practice who previously represented the city says to his knowledge, ownership reverted to the city because conditions in the deed were not met. The city manager declined comment. Alaska's job losses weren't as steep as the national average in April, but the state's recovery is lagging behind nearly every other state. That's one of the conclusions Alaska Department of Labor Research Chief Dan Robinson reached in an article in the department's monthly Trends publication. Robinson looked at COVID-19 job losses for each state compared to the same month the year before.
There are four states that have worse job numbers than us in July, and all four of them had more leisure and hospitality job loss than we did and than the U.S. did in general.
A big factor was the total loss of the summer cruise ship season. In the lower 48, states with national parks recovered a portion of their tourism with the summer driving season, but Robinson points out cruise traffic to Alaska just stopped. He predicts Alaska's recovery will look comparatively better in October when 2020 won't be compared to a normal peak season. The 2020 census will end a month earlier than originally planned. As KDLG's Izzy Ross reports, for many rural and majority Native communities in Alaska, that means census committees have to work harder to count everyone.
During a recent virtual panel discussion, Alaska census advocates talked about getting people to participate in the count. James Christie is the Assistant Director for Field Operations at the U.S. Census Bureau.
People aren't going to answer the census at this point because they saw a fancy ad or because, you know, they got a cup that said 2020 census. They're going to answer it because somebody that they trust said that it's okay to do this and that it's important to do this.
In early August, the Census Bureau announced that counting would end on September 30th, a month sooner than originally planned. Census officials say the Bureau needs to complete data collection and statutory counts by their December 31st deadline. Gloria O'Neill is the president and CEO of Cook Inlet Tribal Council. She says the federal government should extend the deadline through the end of October.
I think about how there are many Alaskans and tribal people that during this time, they are trying to fill their freezers. And that's their first focus right now is to ensure that their families have enough to eat throughout the winter, right? And to engage in subsistence activities.
But many census committees in the state are not relying on Congress to push back that deadline. Only 30% of Dillingham residents have responded to the census so far. And the deadline change left local census takers scrambling to get everyone counted. Dillingham's Complete Count Committee is spearheading census outreach in the city. Co-chair Marilyn Rosine says the shortened timeline makes it difficult to get a full count from communities like Dillingham, where the summer can be the busiest time of year.
When you add our summer activities and hunting is going on now until the middle of September, we've got a lot to do before the end of September. It is earlier than it originally was, which is a double hurdle for us, I think.
To help close that gap in Dillingham, trained census workers will call households and visit homes around the community.
Basically, they each have a little computer that tells them every morning where they need to go, which addresses they need to knock on the door. Everything is safe and socially distant. Nobody goes inside, and it's for verification of information.
The census happens every 10 years and helps the federal government determine funding for community services. In Dillingham, those services include the hospital, the harbor, tribal programs, Head Start, the Safe Woman's Shelter, the school district, library, and public safety. According to the Alaska Federation of Natives, every Native person that goes uncounted means that $3,500 of funding could be lost annually. Dee Dee Bennis is the Complete Count Committee's other co-chair.
The more complete count we get for Dillingham residents, the
benefit for our whole community as a whole is going to be real impactful for the next 10 years. So I can't tell you enough how important it is, and we only have this small window of time before census is going to be completed and done, and that's September 30th.
People can still complete the census online, over the phone, or by mail. You do not need your census code to fill out the actual form. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
Some University of Alaska students have called for the resignation of the student regent following a lengthy email with content some considered inappropriate. The Anchorage Daily News reported University of Alaska Board of Regents member Cache Garrett sent the message to more than 30,000 students on Monday. The nearly 4,300-word email includes views on her Board of Regents position and a description of her goals. The email also provides a wide-ranging personal narrative covering her personality traits and background. Garrett's comments about suicide prevention and self-care drew criticism, and at least two students have called for her to step down. Juneau's LGBTQ plus community celebrated Pride last week with a series of events focused on advocacy and support for each other. But the celebration wasn't complete without the annual Glitz drag show, and this year the show was held outdoors for the first time to maintain social distancing. I went out to the drag show for this story. Juneau's drag mother Gigi Monroe is getting ready for her first in-person show in about 6 months. Since the pandemic began, she's been hosting digital drag shows with plenty of support from the community, but it's just not the same as getting on stage.
It's really hard when you're trying to imagine a room of 100 people when you're performing and all that you see is your phone or your laptop. And that's definitely the biggest challenge.
Monroe, who goes by James Hoagland when not performing, and husband Jeff Rogers, partnered with Juneau-based LGBTQ plus social group Sigla to host the annual Glitz drag show to celebrate Pride. Now in its sixth year, the show was postponed until organizers found a way to host an outdoor show in person. It got so much support, they added a second one.
With this being our first time attempting an outdoor live show, there were so many variables in play. We didn't want to take on something that was like way more than we could handle.
It's 10 minutes to showtime, and there's a stage set up in front of a small trailer set up in the parking lot of a dorm at the University of Alaska Southeast. Inside the trailer, Monroe is wearing her Vegas showgirl opening number outfit, a rhinestone dress with a rainbow feathered headpiece and black opera-length gloves. She's also wearing a protective face shield.
It feels awesome. I'm so excited to be here with, you know, my favorite crew, like all the tech crew that I usually work with is here. And we've missed each other so much. And just to be here live with the other performers is really, really a treat.
Ricky Tagaban, whose stage name is Latuya Hart, is one of eight performers at this year's Glitz. Tagaban says the fun in drag is the visual storytelling, but also...
I really like feeling pretty. Selfishly, that's probably, like, one of the biggest reasons.
Tagaban dressed as a truly convincing Cyndi Lauper.
In general, I love her aesthetic, and I just think she's very fun and very artistic, and she seems very free. And I've always been really drawn to that sort of freedom.
The Juneau drag scene is also known for having its fair share of drag kings. Breida J. Fagerstrom, who's known on stage as Roman Wild, is one of the kings who performed at Glitz.
Kings bring a lot of different energies to, you know, shows. And not that it's competitive, but you do kind of feel the pressure to, like, make yourself better and more exciting for every show. You know, that's kind of the way the family feels.
Wild did two numbers, one as an 80s rocker, the second as Waldo from the Where's Waldo books, performing Matthew Wilder's Break My Stride.
Especially something like Love and Drag, that's like completely foreign to me, even as like a bar king. You know, it's like I normally perform at bars, so I'm used to people, but the added caliber of like the cars and the lights, it was just phenomenal.
And Wild says after several months without performing on a stage, the Glitz show was a $5 million ticket. As for the audience whose cars filled the lot of both shows, the honking says it all. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Pablo Araspeña.